Today, Commissioner Rich Walker, who is running for the Parkland City Mayor position this fall, joins our podcast series. Welcome, Rich. Can you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. My name is Rich. My name is Rich Walker. So I'm the owner of Bergen Sign Company, and I've owned Bergen Sign Company for nearly 25 years. We have an office in Wayne and one in Pompano Beach. So we moved down. We bought the second office in Pompano Beach in 2009. So okay. We basically manufacture and install retail signage, and we do mm-hmm. that work throughout the country.
And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Washington Township, New Jersey, which is South Jersey, okay. 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I went to Rutgers, met my wife and my business partner, and then we ended up moving to originally our office was in Patterson. So we moved to okay. Patterson. We were there for many years, and then we bought an office yeah. in Wayne, and then, you know, we bought the office down here in Pompano Beach. Yeah. And I was commuting back and forth from 2009. And wow. then in 2014, my wife and I decided to, you know, relocate here permanently. You know, the commute was getting yeah. a little bit tough. You know, so I mm-hmm. have five kids. Currently, they're Hayes is 6, Drake is 9, Steffi James is 14, Scott is 12, mm-hmm. and Delaney is 16. Wow. So I got okay. I got two in Park Trails, two in West Glades, and one in at MSD.
Okay. Yeah, my parents are in Allentown, so it's not too far from Philadelphia, north of Philadelphia.
Sure.
So
yeah. Yep.
How long have you been so when do you start serving in for the city of Parkland as commissioner?
So I was elected city commissioner for District 2 in 2018. And mm-hmm. you know, so I've been there ever since. And, you know, prior to that, I was, you know, I don't know if I was your typical dad. You know, I coach all my kids. I coach all their teams, okay. all their sports, whether I'm the head coach, assistant coach. So I'm heavily mm-hmm. involved in their activities, whether it's, you know, sports, school, community, what have you. So you know, that's one of the things I enjoy very much about, you know, having five kids is it allows me to be active, allows me to, you know, see the community,
absolutely.
You know, meet the residents, you know, engage with them, you know, essentially on a daily basis.
Awesome. And what type of sports are your kids and you involved with, like soccer and
yes.
lacrosse?
Yeah. So my three boys, they play soccer. Two of them play flag football. One of them plays tackle. They all play okay. baseball. Mm-hmm. And then my oldest son, Scott, he plays travel baseball as well. So, you know, pretty much we go from flag football to soccer to baseball. and then the summer starts.
Right.
So, and then my
this year is a little weird, right? This year, yes. Soccer leagues, did it finish or was it, you know, almost finished before lockdown?
Actually, it was baseball. Well, okay. baseball and basketball were both affected by, you know, by COVID. So okay. baseball, we pretty much just started the season. I believe we played two mm-hmm. or three games, you know, depending on your schedule. And basketball, mm-hmm. I know I believe most of their age groups were down to the championship game. So they're trying to get in to play the championship games. But right now, obviously, you know, with Broward County and, you know, the regulations, there's no organized right. sports allowed right now. You know, so we're kind of just sitting back and waiting for some guidance from Broward County, you know, mm-hmm. to start doing the slow rollout here in South Florida.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they can get the championships once in just to finish the season off, so.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because obviously South Florida is separate than, you know, than the rest of Florida because we have mm-hmm. so many more cases here in Miami, Broward, right. and, you know, and Palm Beach.
Right.
So, you know, we're going a little bit slower because I know, and even when we do open, it's still going to be a small, you know, small opening, you know, and it'll be a smooth transition. So it's going to take some time for that to happen. So, yeah. you know, it's definitely a tough situation.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, you became the commissioner, was it before? I think it's right after the MSC shootings, right?
That is correct, yes.
And then I think the, you know, this is probably the second sort of, made, you know, like in the last 2 years, the community sort of have to come together and rely on each other to go through a tough time.
Yes. So no, the community is so resilient, mm-hmm. you know, with the MSD tragedy, you know, that was, you know, unbelievable what happened. But the community really pulled together. There's still, you know, there's still people suffering, you know, with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have some great partners here that the city has worked hard to, you know, form partnerships with, you know, like Parkland Cares, Eagles mm-hmm. Haven. Right. You know, there's so many people here that are able to help, want to help. So it's in, you know, it's important that people realize that there is help for them. But it's a slow, you know, it's obviously a slow process.
Right.
But it's one that we're working through. And then that process is going to continue now with, you know, having, you know, been in isolation for 5-6 weeks, you know, that right. develops, you know, similar, well, you know, similar.
Well, I think, I think that's one of the challenges. I think we don't really talk as much about is like not just the virus affecting you, like, you know, having an illness, but the fact that people are actually stressed, you know, just the news itself, the uncertainties, the, you know, the changes in their habits, all these things, you know, are stressful events. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I think hopefully the city, you know, after this is, you know, throughout this period of time is I see a lot of, like, obviously information being sent, but awareness of the fact that people could be suffering, you know, in silence, and then hopefully they can feel free to reach out to people that they, you know, as much as possible, and that's the first step to get help. So,
no, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we're fortunate that we do have, you know, partners here already. You know, so we'll hopefully be able to make that transition,
right?
You know, positively, for sure.
Right, and I think that's one side effect of the fact that the community already came together before to combat this, stressful events.
Yep.
So as a commissioner, how did you find the, you know, this onset of the COVID-19? In terms of the city services, and are you happy with that? You know, the response that the city employees have, are they safe also? Are they out working?
Yes. Yeah, no, the city has done. So, you know, in municipal government, we take most of our guidance from Broward County, who in turn, you know, takes most of their guidance from the state of Florida.
Right.
So our job is to effectively implement those guidelines that are put down from us, you know, from Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
And the city has done, you know, a very good job in doing that. You know, it's working right now at a, you know, reduced capacity, reduced hours. You know, we're still accepting building applications. We're still doing, you know, building inspections. Mm-hmm. We took this opportunity on a parks level to do some maintenance that we normally do over the summer,
right.
you know, to push up that maintenance process. So we've taken advantage of some of the downtime, you know, in those areas. But, you know, our small businesses, a lot of them are closed or working remotely, mm-hmm. you know, unless they're, a restaurant and could do takeout. It's really taken, you know, it's taken a toll, but the city has, you know, responded well, keeping the mm-hmm. residents, you know, informed in, you know, what they need to do, what they can do. And, you know, right. they've been there every step of the way.
Absolutely. I think that's one good thing, you know, in terms of things are orderly, and, you know, like the retail store, the grocery store are open. I mean, like the people are, at least all the times I visited, is people, if there's a line, people are staying in the, you know, safe distance, you know, yes. along the line. I think those are good things. You know, I'm very happy for the fact that we live in a community where everyone seems to be, you know, aware of these rules and then following them. So, from the city, you know, are you guys having, I think in Colorado Springs, when I talked to Mayor Scott Brook there, they have a one-stop shop to help businesses with, you know, in the city hall to for permits and stuff, which they're still maintaining for ordinance conform inspections. Do you guys have something like a walk-up type of service, or is this a...
Yes. So our city hall is closed to visitors. So we have a desk out front where you can drop off your building permit application, you know, there, and then somebody will email you, you know, your mm-hmm. permit number, you know, any fees that are associated with it, approvals, denials, you know, changes, what have you. We've made the efforts to make sure our residents, we can still conduct business as best we can and within the guidelines of Broward County, you know, but obviously it's at a modified scale.
Okay. And then do you guys have all the supplies to help the employees to work in this sort of pandemic mode in yes. terms of supplies? Yeah.
Yeah, we have all the PPEs that are needed. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know, as far as we're concerned, the city has gone with a split schedule. So, you know, on any given day at City Hall, you know, half the employees are working. So maybe the finance department, half of the finance department might be working Monday and Wednesday. The other half works, mm-hmm. you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Same with the building department.
I see.
You know, so the staff is really thinned out with how many people are there. So social distancing, you know, has been, you know, the main focus there. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And what do you think, like, you know, now that there's this election coming up for the city mayor, what do you think the city's, based on this experience with the COVID-19, do you see any mm-hmm. short-term things you guys would change in the city that you're looking at changing? Or basically, what's your focus in the short term?
Yeah, I mean, short term, you know, it's just trying to get back to normalcy. Mm-hmm. And what that's going to look like. And a lot of those things, we'll get our guidance from Broward County, and then we'll have the ability to, you know, adapt in small measures one way or another, you know, mm-hmm. depending on what fits our city. But in, you know, again, you know, as I had said before, you know, Broward County, I mean, again, really it's state of Florida sets the guidelines. Yeah. Broward County will kind of adjust those things for them and then so forth down to us. So you know, we don't have a large business, you know, population. You know, we do have business, but there's not a lot of business. So they'll open when they're allowed to open. You know, they'll mm-hmm. obviously open whether it's 25%, 50%, you know, whatever that number starts at. And, you know, it'll be up to the city to monitor to make sure, you know, they're following those guidelines. And then it'll be the same with our parks and sports programs, you know, all those things. Follow suit.
No, absolutely. I think a lot of folks have either work or have businesses around Parkland, and I think it's good to see, you know, the counties or this area have a consistent rule so that we all, like, you know, living under the same
correct.
When it opens up, it's sort of synchronous, you know, between the different cities.
Well, it makes it hard. I mean, especially with, you know, the beach. You know, the beach towns, you have one beach opens, another beach doesn't open. You know, the one beach will get overrun by, you know, residents from other cities. So that's why you got to try to make sure, you know, everybody is in sync. So, I mean, I think the city, the Tri-County, well, I believe it's Hallandale, mm-hmm. you know, it's a couple other counties as well. But I think that was, you know, a very great idea on their end to make sure, you know, everybody's kind of working together.
Yep. So you're running for mayor now. So what made you decide to run for the mayor, and what do you see, like, in terms of Parkland, you know, from your, how do you want to shape the Parkland, you know, once you become mayor, if you become mayor?
Yes. I mean, so I'm running for mayor. You know, I want to effectively and productively serve Parkland for as long as I'm able to. Mm-hmm. And I feel, you know, right now is a good time for me to take this unforeseen opportunity. You know, Christine was a fantastic mayor. And mm-hmm. she'll be missed by, you know, so many. So there's some, you know, big shoes to fill. But I believe that my dedication, my compassion, my love for the city, mm-hmm. You know, and my business experience, which, you know, allows me to have a level head, clear mind, you know, I'm very pragmatic. Mm-hmm. I think right now that's the kind of person that we need and we want to be our mayor.
And do you anticipate it, that, you know, with the, you know, from a sales tax point of view reduction, I think I saw that the state level expects some reduction because the lockdown. Do you mm-hmm. see that affecting the city much, or have you, what's your thoughts on that in terms of?
I mean, right now our tax, you know, we're very financially stable and, okay. you know, our, we rely mostly on residential taxes.
Right.
You know, and our, you know, and our homes are, you know, we're obviously a little more affluent city than others. Right. So our impact would probably be less than your normal, you know, than your typical city. There is, you know, there is potential for that. And it's very difficult to navigate and to understand the business, you know, what's going to happen with business and the economy. That's one of the things I think having a sign company, you know, and I do work throughout the country. I know when malls are opening. I know when stores are mm-hmm. opening. I know when restaurants are opening. You know, I have a lot of that information. So I think, you know, that will certainly help, you know, mm-hmm. at least give my opinion on where the economy could be potentially headed. And then there might be opportunities to where, you know, we may need to, you know, adjust some of our capital spending.
Right. I think a lot of it, you know, I feel like going forward for these few months, people need to, it's going to be flexible. People need to look at it as a bigger picture and be flexible in the short term. And then I think city, definitely Parkland, you know, a lot of residential areas. So that's a plus, you know, from a stability point of view. And so hopefully it doesn't have major impact in terms of the revenue that the city gets.
Right.
What's your message to the community in terms of how, you know, why would they want to vote for you for the mayor beyond the experience you have?
I want the community to know, you know, how much I care for the residents and the city. I think my dedication to the city since we've moved here 6 years ago, you know, in coaching teams and, you know, being involved in school events, being involved in community events. I think that shows my dedication and my love for the city. And, you know, I have and I will continue to work as hard as I can to make sure every resident has an opportunity to be heard. And through my, you know, efforts in coaching and what have you, I'm always out and about in the city. So I'm very accessible. You know, I want to hear from residents. You know, they can call me, they can email me. Anyone who calls me, anybody who emails me, I get back to them, you know, every time. I believe it's important that everybody gets heard. You know, I think that's vital in my engagement. And I just want to make sure that Parkland is the best city to raise a family.
Absolutely. And what brought you to Parkland versus, like, say, I don't know, Boca or when you moved here 6 years ago?
I mean, we came here for the schools and the community. And, you know, it's important to me, you know, I have a vested interest in making sure Parkland continues to be a great city and gets even better. You know, my youngest is 6 years old. So, you know, he's going into first grade this year or next year, whatever. You know, so I'm truly vested here because I'm going to be here raising my family for the next, you know, 12 years.
Absolutely. Very good. This is a very good insight as to why you're running. And, you know, I think, you know, it's definitely interesting times for everyone to go through and having an election coming up. Have you thought about, like, in terms of campaigning, like, you know, with it partially shut down, like, that's going to be a little bit tricky, right, to get events and stuff planned?
Yeah, you're going to have to think outside the box a little bit, whether it's, you know, Zoom town halls, you know, a little more social media, some more communication via email, things of that nature. So you're definitely going to have to, you know, think outside the box to come up with ways to promote your message, promote your name, you know. So it'll be a challenge for sure. but it's, you know, it's one I'm looking forward to, and you know, one I believe I'll be successful.
Well, it's a test for everyone to be creative in this time. I think that's the good part of this is that it's a test on how people are adaptive to the new climate of new normal, let's say, as someone say. And as all the businesses and residents are adjusting to that for themselves, you know, I think part of what I'm personally thinking is like, okay, how to get used to wearing masks all the time or talking to people with masks in the public. And, you know, shopping is one thing, but like interfacing with people, let's say restaurants are open again, you know, how do I, you know, what's the best way to enjoy, you know, some good food and try to minimize your personal risk, right? I think that's all these are, we're learning ourselves, so.
Right. Now, it's interesting, you know, like you said, to watch the innovation that businesses are going to take and have taken, you know, to try to stay relevant and, you know, to keep their brand on top of everybody's mind.
Yeah, the brand, and also like how to offer what they offer. If it's entertainment, how do they keep people entertained? And I think personally, I feel like there's a neat, I'm running out of things to watch on Netflix, you know, it's like, it's a problem actually, because you get more restless because of that. And then it's opportunity for someone who's smart enough to take advantage of that and new markets to be opened up.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be, you know, we're already seeing a lot of innovation and we'll see a lot more, which is, you know, there'll be so many new businesses and, you know, whenever you see a new business or a new invention, you're always like, wow, I could have thought of that. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of that coming in the near term.
And I think that's one thing that I hope people, when they're have free time, is think about what they want to do and what you know, how maybe something they're passionate about, you know, what they can, there's actually an opportunity to reflect, can they do that from home? You know, I think some of the articles I read, a lot of people are more efficient at home for certain type of businesses and how to work that into their, you know, the let's say when go back to normal, like, is that maybe something they want to maintain, you know, flexibility for where people working?
Well, normal is not going to be what normal was before. You know, the new normal is going to be different because, like you said, some people are more effective at home. So there will be, you know, opportunities for people to, you know, be able to do both, you know, stay at home and work and, you know, what have you, which, and I think this has given people a new sense of family, which I think has been, you know, a blessing in disguise, you know. Absolutely. So now people have more time together, you know, they get to know one another because in our busy lives and with cell phones and, you know, iPads and all that stuff, we kind of forget the small things that are important and, you know, just spending time and talking with people. And I think that's, you know, if there's one good thing that we can take out of this isolation, I think that has been, you know, a huge plus for a lot of families. I know mine, it's been, you know, we're busy every day doing something. So to sit down and relax and, you know, have a dinner together and things like that, it's been a real blessing.
Yeah. Awesome. And then I think it also is a common thing that there's common experience we all facing and then the fear, the emotions, and it's a good way to connect with each other. I think the other thing I was just contemplating is that the part of, you know, personally, you know, the cable modem I have, I live in Huron Bay, and then occasionally we have like bursty cable modem, and then that prevents you obviously watching Netflix, but also for people working from home, you need the reliable internet and no type of service infrastructure. I think that's probably going to be another, you know, from a city point of view, how best to ensure that the companies that provide them, you know, upgrade the services. Because if people are going to stay home a little longer and work from home, they need more reliable, you know, internet, for example. So
yes, no, absolutely, and that's something that the city can, you know, help as far as, you know, finding the right people to talk to. But your HOAs also have a lot, right? Because I know like our HOA, for instance, our HOA has a deal with Comcast. So obviously they have much better buying power. So, you know, your HOAs are certainly a good outlet to help as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think another good thing in terms of local leaders is actually the HOA, you know, the boards, because they actually make a lot of decisions at a quite a large, some of the HOAs are quite large, right? The communities. Yeah. So,
yes.
No, that's a very good point. No, this is a very good conversation. And, you know, I think when do you foresee the your first event in public event when you,
We probably won't do anything until June, because the mayor hasn't officially resigned yet.
Okay.
You know, she is running for the other seat, but she hasn't officially resigned yet. So we haven't set the final qualifying period for the mayor's seat yet.
Okay.
The mayor will more than likely resign in the end of May. That resignation won't be taken into effect until, you know, obviously after the election.
Got it.
And then once that resignation is tendered, we would then set a qualifying date for our mayor's race. So, you know, that would potentially be towards the end of June. So somewhere around June, I think, would be June, July, the appropriate time to have, you know, your first event. Because our election is not until November. And as much as you want to make sure you're getting your name out and your word out, you also don't want to, you know, you don't want to annoy people with, you know, too much information, you know, all at once. So it's, you know, it's nice to spread some things out and give them an opportunity to reflect on what type of leader they're looking for.
Right.
And, you know, give them time to digest that instead of just, you know, pounding them, you know.
No, absolutely. I think that's, and I think that, you know, it's summertime, and it's actually 5 months more to go, right? So it's now to, so, and I think for a city level, for me always, I actually believe the city level is where you can engage with the leaders. You know, it's very difficult once you go past the city level to even, you know, meet one of the local politicians, without like meeting a huge crowd. So I think it's a unique opportunity for hopefully community to actually understand what the city does and how they're actually have a vested interest to shape how the city evolves. And I think, you know, there are a lot of things city can do in terms of zoning and a park, and a lot of how we live our lives is actually governed by the city in terms of how it's implemented. So this is where you want to get involved with the right, you know, and speak to the right person that can make a difference in the city. So,
correct. And that's why I love municipal government, because it really does give you an opportunity to help shape where you live. You know, obviously you're limited with how much you can do and, you know, what kind of, you know, ordinances and such that you can pass, but you have great opportunities to, you know, build parks, fix parks, you know, and have a true impact on your residents, which to me is so rewarding.
Absolutely.
It's exciting to see and watch.
And the city itself is still expanding. There's still new developments being, you know, coming in. Yep. And I think maintaining the culture, the aesthetics of the community, while these, you know, still large size communities coming in, it's actually a challenge. I think whenever new residents come in, if you don't enforce that culture, it gets lost potentially. So I look forward to the city continuing that, because that's one of the reasons people move to Parkland, you know.
100%.
It's because you drive down, you see the trees, you see the greenery, and you see the, you know, it's very, what's the right word? It's a very pasture-like, you know, I hope to that continues. And it's difficult against business interests sometimes, but the balance of it is extremely important. So,
yes, I couldn't agree more.
No, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
It's very good to always talk to. And I hope the more the listeners, you know, listen to the voices, you guys, you know, all the city leaders, you guys are passionate about, you know, making a better city. And then hopefully you know, the residents spend time to think through who are the best leaders for who's the best mayor. And then I think that's, you know, best luck on doing this while the pandemic's still going on.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep. I look forward to the opportunity of serving.
Definitely. And then the one good thing about Parkland is that you have more, a lot of parks that potentially people can still gather and keep a good distance. And
correct.
You just need to big speaker system to
yes.
So, all right. Thanks. Thank you very much. And we'll look forward to talk to you again when you guys are fully.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, Commissioner. And thanks for those who are listening to our podcast. I hope you learned a little more about one of our city leaders. Please reach out to Rich if you have any comments or questions. Remember, our local elections are very important in shaping our community. So get involved. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.